Father, we thank you, Father, Lord, that we can gather here this morning once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord. To come together, Lord, worship and fellowship and to hear thy word, O Lord, to come into thy presence and sitting in heavenly places to be with you. Father, we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this day. Bless this day, Father. Lord, we glorify thy holy name. We bless thy name, O Lord. May our hearts be open up to listen, Father. We know, Father, Lord, as thy word said, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord say unto the churches. And Father, Lord, let us therefore take heed to what we hear and how we hear, even so, Father, to the word of truth, Lord. We know that there are many things that the human, natural kind of man will find hard to grasp, O Father. And even so that the kind of man many times, Lord, the old man within us would want to reject the very precious word of truth. But thy word is truth, O Lord, and thy word will set us free, Father, and it is life to us. So, Father, we pray that you guide us and in the things that we are learning today. We know that some of the things we may have already known, but sometime, Lord, we may have bypassed it and we have taken it for granted, O Lord, because of the life that we live in this world. So, Father, we pray that you help us, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we commit this time to you, Father. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject this morning is called The Thing Called Love. We sing the song, A Thing Called Love, but this is a message about this thing or the thing called love. Let us first go to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Now, there are a lot of verses to turn to, and you need to be fast, else we take too much time telling it. Alright, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. We need to, first of all, read this verse to get our bearing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So now when we talk about the subject of love, we need to know that love comes from God. For God himself is love. So he that loveth not, of course, does not know God. So when we say we love, we know how to love, then we can say we know God. But when we talk about this God, this love, what kind of love are we talking about? Now you have, and we have dealt with it, about love. The three kinds of love. Eros, filial, agape. Right? So we are going to take all these three together and really understand a little better about love. Especially to the young people. The young girls, young boys, I know we don't have many, but still, a number are still not married. And those maybe are thinking of getting married, or those are thinking of getting a boyfriend, or a girlfriend, and thinking about courtship. So we want to talk about love. Not only about this courtship, it's about also husband and wife relationship. And then also, finally, of course, Jesus and the church, because that's what the main thing is all about, as to what really is love. Alright, now, go to the book of Genesis. First of all, we want to go to the book of Genesis, always because we have to go to the book of Genesis, because that is the beginning of how God deals with mankind. Alright? In the book of Genesis, and we read chapter 1, and we see here, it says that, and God said, verse 26, and let us make man in our own image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. So now, we read this about the creation. We all know that, how God created man. And we go to chapter 2, then we realize that when God made man, Adam was formed in verse 7 of chapter 2. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then we read the story how that God planted a garden east of Eden and then put man in that garden to dress it. And man was alone. Right. Now we go over to verse. Let's see now. Verse 18 of chapter 2. God said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help to meet his needs. Help meet his need. Alright, sometimes we get the word help meet. Actually, the help to meet his need. Somebody that will meet his physical need, emotional need, spiritual need, and everything that is required. Alright. And so in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now you have learned a doctrine, a teaching about the deep sleep of Adam. Okay? Now we want to further emphasize about this sleep. God said it's not good for man to be alone, so he put Adam to a deep sleep. And then when Adam slept, and the Bible said God took one of his ribs and closed it up, and then with the rib, in verse 32, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from a man, from the man, for man, made he a woman. And he brought her unto the man and said unto him. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay, very interesting little thought here. We know that when Adam was put to a deep sleep, was a portrayal of Christ dying upon the cross. You understand that? Okay, it is not good that the man should be alone, the man. Because Adam was the first man. Jesus Christ was the second man. Okay, so when he said the man, referred to two, one who is physically on earth, the other one who is from heaven. One Adam that came from the dust of the earth, Christ the man that came from heaven. So when we see the man, we see Adam portraying Christ Jesus. So Adam was put to sleep from the side, God took out the woman and gave it and brought her to the man. And so the same thing, Christ died upon the cross, he slept upon the cross, and God took up from his side a bride for him. Now my question right now is this. To say this, when we talk about love, now young people, listen to me. And you old folks, listen also to me. Alright? Those of you who have no husband already, or those of you who have no more wife, whatever. Listen. When we talk about love, do you understand what is love all about? How does love originate? We know it comes from God. But by looking at the picture here, we understand something here. That between the man and the woman cannot love. You understand that? Kind of sure. Think about it. Between the man and the woman, when you talk about love, the woman cannot love a man. You think, hey, what are you talking about? Well, look at the picture here and see if it is true. It is the man that loves, it is not the woman. The woman is a recipient of love. And it is the man that gives the love and the woman that receives the love and reciprocate. If you don't believe me, then what think about Jesus Christ? We love him because he first loved us. If he doesn't love us, we cannot reciprocate that love. I don't need to think about it. But it's true. Do you understand? So in this picture here, we see here now. Adam was created and he was alone in the garden. And of course, you see all the animals, they were in pair. Male, female horse, male, female pig, male, female pig, birds here and there. All the animals were all male or female. And he was the only one that was alone. You understand? And then God put him to a sleep and then brought out the woman. And read what the Bible said. The Bible said in verse chapter 2, verse 22. The Lord God, the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, you young people think about it. When you think about getting married, you think about boyfriend girlfriend relationship. Alright? Have patience and wait. Adam slept. So, young man, go to sleep. Sleep and wait. Wait until God make a woman. You know, God worked both sides. He worked both ways, between the man's side and the woman's side. So, God said, Adam, go to sleep. So Adam just by his own business go to sleep. Sleep means waiting. Then God in the meantime was preparing a woman. Okay. Having made the woman, God brought the woman to Adam, and Adam woke up. Or woke up from his waiting. Now I got what I wanted. I have waited. Now I have it. Because God brought the girl, the woman, to Adam. You see. And that's not what the Bible then Adam said this. For this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Now we have the story about these prophetic words. About a man leaving father and mother and cleave to the wife. You understand? And I wanted to see this picture because we have problems. Not only in the world but of people who are not Christian. We think Christian we have problem about relationship between the parent and the children. Alright? And that problem can become problematic in many, many cases. I received a letter from Africa. But again, we have this case about this, about the parent and the daughter and what, you know, they want to control this control until there is a problem. So we need to understand what the Bible said and come through the Bible, God's way. So now when we talk about this, be sure that you young men, wait. Don't rush into marriage. Don't rush. Oh, I remember back in the 1970s, just before 1977. I think Roger Noah. When we talk about 1977, you all know what the 1977 is so special? How many of you know about 1977? Because Barack Obama predicted. Okay, about 1977, he said that, oh, by this summer, sir, I believe that the rapture might take place and Christ might come and so on. And people think that because it was his opinion, people think, oh, yeah, 1977, the rapture is going to happen. I get a message in 1971, I got married in 74. And I see people saying that I got married in 74. They also want to get married because they're only 3 years, 3 years left. They want to enjoy the marital bliss. And they got into marital hell. I know about it. You know why? When I knew, you know, I didn't look for a wife. In the denomination while I was there, when God, you know, deal me to do a ministry back then, I said, Lord, if I'm going to get married, I'm married. You just get me a wife. If not that, I just don't get married. And the Lord said, you will get married about the age of 26. And so I'm glad that the Lord showed it to me. And so, so I waited. And of course, God presented my wife to me. And very strangely, when I got to know my wife at that time, the news went out. The news got out all over to the other churches. And the pastor came and visited me for the first time in the home. Just wanted to see who? See my bride to be. Kind of strange, you know. And then after that, I got married. Oh my. Those few that I know, they went out there looking for wives. And they got one from denomination. And then the wife introduced other girls to other brothers, believers, this man, to be wives. And so many of them got into trouble. They're no longer in the message. Some of them, they still are, but they say they are. But I don't know what happened to them. They stay around there by themselves, listen to the tape. It's very sad that this thing that happens, but it happens. Because they rush into it. You see. And I want you to know that you need young men to have patience and wait. And girls, please understand, young girls. Don't think that, oh, you know, your colleague or your schoolmate or your friends, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter, and tweet and doot and woot, and all kinds of things will come up later on. I can tell you, not Facebook, then you have Twitter. Twitter come up. I know all kinds of funny names they have. If the world will last another 100 years, you will have all kinds of Twitter, Facebook, all kinds of funny names will come up on the internet. You know, we have this guy, or we talk on telephone, on, you know, talk. Then we have one I never heard of. Somebody asked me, have you heard of Woo-Goo? Woo-Goo. Yeah, sounds funny. O-O-V-O-O. You know, so they come up with strange name. And you people, your young girl, your young boy, when you have Facebook on this, be very careful, huh? Remember this. Yeah. You see what is happening on the internet, they go and grab all whatever you put there. Every time you do something, it is sent out to Google, whoever is Facebook, who owns the Facebook, they will grab all those things. You see. And that's why there's all this fighting over the in the law, legal issue about, you know, Google pop-up advertisements, you know, things like that for its benefits. You know. So they are going to grab everything that you do, you write. And sometimes, and I know, some of you young people, you don't fool me, you know. Some of you probably have two Facebooks. Or three. One, your real self. Present very nice. The other one, you present your vanity. Isn't it? That's why I said sometimes, Christian, you young people especially, be careful. Because the devil is trying to get you. Because that's the way it goes. We come to church very nice. We act sinly. But on the other side, we have a Facebook, we want to socialize with friends who are non-Christian. So you want to present your faith, then you go and dress up all kind of hair color, maybe, you know, present all sorts of things, take very fantastic, what they call those model poses like this and like that, and turn your head upside down. And then you put on your face and you think, oh, how great I am, and people admire you. No, don't do that. You see, you have only one life to live, and that life is Jesus Christ, the life of Christ in you. Otherwise, you have two lives, two faces, You know, you don't even know who really you are. Do you know who you are? The question is, do you know who you are? You need to know your own self, A lot of people don't know themselves. Their strength, their weaknesses. You see. So Prabhupada said, I always hawk eye his own weakness. Yeah, every one of us have weaknesses. Okay? Is that alright? How many of you don't have? We all have. And that's why the devil will use those weaknesses in your life to bring you down. You see, and to destroy you if he can. You see. So we need to know and hawk eye our weakness. Or else you get into big trouble. Okay? So we come to that to really understand. Okay, let's go to the 1 Corinthians 14:36. Ephesians 5:25. Alright, Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, love, you see that love always proceeds from the male to the female. You understand, don't you? You understand? Hello? Okay, you all learn biology. You all learn the birds and the bees. Who don't learn birds and bees? Luke, do you learn birds and bees in schools? Oh, too young to learn birds and bees. So your dad should teach you. Your parents should teach you. You see, you know where you come from, right? Yeah. How you were formed. Yeah. Okay. You see, it's always the male that goes to the female. Not the female. It's the man that seeks for the bride. You understand? But the man who seeks for the bride still have to wait. Until the Lord provides. And that's the thing about the human body. Everything that we see in the nature always reflects what God shows. Take for example, conception. Every one of those, the female, you will have a cycle every 28 days. Is that right? So if the egg is not presented, the sperm cannot fertilize it, right? Isn't it? And you know all about conception. It is the sperm that goes straight to the female. And so the female, the egg is the recipient. And that's why we always say that life comes from God. and life come through Jesus Christ. Christ is the male or the head of the church. And we, the church, we are His bride. So, that's not why the Bible said, husband, love your wife. We can also read another one. 1 Corinthians 14:36. 1 Corinthians 14:36. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Now, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is talking about the church. The church is always used as a female, the type of a female, a woman. So now Paul is saying, does the word of God come out from you? He was telling the woman to be silent in the church, right? So women are not supposed to take authority. Okay? So that's the one now Paul is saying that, what does the word of God come out from you? That means taking a woman representing the church. Does the word of God come out from the church? Or does the word of God go to the church? You see, that's why we have a problem. Ministers of God are ordained of God. They are gifts of God to the church. Is that right? It doesn't come out from the church, huh? It's a gift of God to the church. You see. Just like, well, whether they're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. And Bob Graham even said, remember about the gift that he has said, nothing to do with me. He has nothing to do with it. A gift is God's gift to the church for the perfecting of the saints and so on, for the work of the ministry. You see. So yes, the word does not come out from the church. That means to say that within the body of Christ, the word cannot come out from there. The body received the word. It received life. It received love from Christ, the word. And Christ works through his stomach. That's what Paul said. Does the word come out to you? Come out from you or come to you? So it is time for the male and the female. The male is the one that gives the life. The male is the one that gives the love. That's the reason why even in nature itself, we can always see that how that the Bible shows us that when a woman marries a man, he takes the family name of the man on the man's side. You understand that too? Except of course in Cambodia, when a man marries a woman, he takes the woman's name, which is very, very odd. Well, I don't know how that is, how that pagan, you know, that thing came about. It must be from some pagan teaching somewhere. You see, otherwise it's always the man's name, because you have to trace back all your lineage to the beginning, to Adam or to Seth or to Abraham. You see, so that's how it goes. All right. So therefore, the word of the Lord comes to the church. Now, 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. So we see again the woman received life and love. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The women are weaker vessels, of course. Not just because of the fall, no. Okay, God created Adam, then God made Eve and present to Adam. Now, the problem is this, is that Eve cannot wait. And that's what the problem is. Hello. It's usually the girl that at a disadvantage. Now listen to me, young people. When all this courtship that is going on today, in school. You know, back in my days, in the 60s, the boys and the girls in class, nobody holds hand. You don't see girls and boys in school uniform holding hands. When I was out there, you don't see young people holding hands. Today, they hold hands so tight until the hand goes around the waist. Yes. You know, They're so young. Do you think they know what love really is? And when they grow up together like this, sooner or later they get into some deep problem. And then you find later on, the girl is carrying the baby. The girl is at a disadvantage. The boy could leave her, and she become an outcast. The family are looking at her. Huh? You know. And we have a lot of cases like this. Especially in America. Girls love getting the baby, the boy just let them leave her alone, and she raise up the child. Single parent. Don't forget, this flesh are tempted by the five senses. Because we are feeding upon this flesh the sense, the mental, the emotion, the passion by the five senses. What we see, what we touch, what we feel, we smell, right? What we taste. All these can play into the passion of a woman for a man, or a man for a woman. All this will play its part. You know. So we don't want to get caught into this situation. Okay. Now Eve, well, was given to Adam. But you know, she was not patient to wait. After all, Adam said to her, "You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, for this cause shall man leave father and mother and shall join to the wife and they shall be one flesh." Eve heard that. But Eve cannot wait. And then here came a handsome looking tall male species. Nice looking dog, handsome. That's a serpent. Huh? And you know, sometime, I don't have a good voice. You ever heard a man who speak, "Oh, very sexy"? Huh? You know, I fall in love and praise him was not because I heard her or see her face at all. Never. It's a letter that came asking some questions. I look at her, I just like the handwriting. I say, "This is my wife for me." You know? And that's about it. Sometimes it's just something about something that you see. But here the serpent came to Eve one day. "Hello." "Oh my!" She got excited. "There is something about these boys." And sometimes that is very true. We can listen to a man's voice. Sometimes a man's voice is high pitch. We take for example like Brother Israel, huh? He's got a high pitch, right? You know. And there are those that are very low pitch. And sometimes you sometimes watch a Spanish narrator or commentator, narrator of a documentary. They have a very nice voice, right? A voice that is very pleasant to hear, to follow, to listen. You'll see. So maybe some kind of voice that a girl can get excited. Yay! And say, "Oh man, this is, oh!" And they get all, you know, the eyelids start to flutter like butterfly. Okay? And this is what it's about. And so Eve did not wait. And so succumbs to the seduction of the serpent. You see? And she was left, of course, carrying the baby. And God could have put her, it was sin in the eyes of the Lord. If it wasn't for Adam to save her, she would have been cast away and put to death. You know. But Adam loved her. And it's because the man who loved her, that's why he didn't know what love really is. Because true love is not something that it's all about the natural senses. Yeah, you know, how many of you ever get infatuated? Come on. You have, come on. Come on, put up your hand. Come on, let me see your hand. Okay, infatuated. Oh, Brother Joe, you don't know. Oh my. I was young, I was infatuated when I was in school. Yeah, I was in school and I have a teacher, you know. She was a good teacher, she was nice, she was pretty, and happy. She said, "Oh, how?" You know, that's infatuation. You know. Sometimes this is what it's all about, it's infatuation. It's not love. And we think infatuation for love. And that is really where we have the trouble. Oh no, we can go on and look at a few other cases here. Let us go to the book of Genesis chapter 24. Alright, here we have Isaac and Rebekah. And we know the story about Isaac and Rebekah in chapter 24 of Genesis. Right. It was time, of course, that Abraham says, okay, now I need to have Isaac a wife. And he loved Isaac. And he wanted to protect Isaac. Don't want him to go out among those in the land of Canaan to get a wife. He wanted to get a wife that is godly for Isaac. Someone who knew about the same God, who worshipped the same God. And of course, the only place he could find is all the way back to Aram. You see, so he called his faithful servant Eliezer, said, okay, go there and get me a wife for Isaac. Let us read chapter 24, verse 63. Now, why? Of course, Eliezer, having gone through there and got Rebekah, now remember, it was a long journey, many, many days and weeks, and they spent I don't know how long out there. And Eliezer, of course, talked to Rebekah, having asked God for a sign. She came to the well, water, give her water as well as to the camel, and then, you know, talk to the father. And so, all the process of dealing with it, yeah, telling the story, talking about Isaac, about Isaac and Abraham, it causes, of course, Rebekah to think about, meditate about this person that who he is going to, she is going to get married to. And of course, in that period of time, you know, being that she was a godly woman, and listening to this servant of Abraham about this son and the father, it caused her, yes, I would like to marry this man. You know. So God working on that side, and went over down in the south, Isaac was waiting. Of course, Isaac knew that the father had told Eliezer to go get wife for him. He was waiting. So every evening he'd go out there and meditate. Every evening he'd go out there and meditate. You know why it's always the evening? You see, when you're waiting, you can wait until nightfall, huh? He said, wait until night come for. You see? Just like the Bible always used to term, don't let the sun set upon your wrath, your anger. You see? So it means that it's a long period of time in waiting. A long period of time that you need to think about it. So Isaac was waiting. So every evening you go out to the field and wait, you know, meditate. So let us read verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted out the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is that walk in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Right? And she was so excited, she literally almost fought off the camel. Because there was this love, because of what she heard through Eliezer. And Isaac was patiently waiting. And the Bible here said, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And he, now she loved him, and he loved her. Always the male. Love proceeds from the man unto the woman, and the woman receives it and then reciprocate back. And that's what the Bible always says, husband, love your wife. Husband, love your wife. She's a weaker vessel. Yes. Because she was made for you. You know. Do you understand that? Okay. Now, you see how God worked both sides, both ways. And sometimes when we ask this question, What is love really? How many of you have seen the movie? The Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition, tradition. Right? And Tanya here one day sing the song to his wife. Do you love me? You remember the song? Well, you don't have to go pick up and watch the movie. It's one of the best traditional Jewish tradition, all about love and all about the problem that this family of Tavia face with his three daughters. When one married a Gentile, things like that. And then you know he asking the song to his wife, do you love me? And what did the wife say? Do I love you? Well, for 25 years and so many years I've been ironing your clothing and do your dishing and the cooking for you and washing your clothes and washing the floor, whatever I do for you. Do I love you? I guess I do. So my point then is this. When they both got married, were they really in love? But what then is love? You see, in those times it is all about matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a catch. Remember the song? Always that song in that movie. I have it. I like that. Sorry. Some once in a while I watch it. Just to remind love and Jewish tradition. Love and our folly, love and our life. You know. So you see, many times it's matchmaking. Do you understand that? It's matchmaking. So when matchmaking in those days is important because they want to keep their stock. Huh? The healthy stock, their healthy genes of the same kind, of the same faith. That's what is all important. Now not today. Today what? Today with matchmaking. Old fashioned, huh? Very old fashioned. Let me go and look for a wife out there. Let me go and look for a boy out there. And so what do we have? Many times we end up in divorce. Many places end up in divorce. You see. Look at America today. The percentage of divorce. 1 in 3. 1 in 4. In Singapore, it used to be what? 1 in 20? Now it's 1 in 12. Keep on going and see what happened. Huh? Boy and girl going to the train, the buses, holding hands, sitting on the bike, giggling away, touching each other, or whatever they do. That's not love. So in this case, I was thinking about this, Tavia. Do you love me? I guess I do, because after all these years, if I don't love you, why do I wash your clothes, cook for you, clean your house, pick up after you? You know, we men are useless. A minute! Without a woman, we are gone. We are finished. But that's why I say, I guess I love you. And in the end, someone says, oh yes, we do. I like it. You see, love actually started when you get to know each other. And it blossomed. And when you start to live together, then you know each and every, the opposite one. Get to know each other's bad thing. Huh? Then you find out, oh, you snore. Oh, dear. Or you throw things here, you leave the things around here. Oh, my. So, you know, then we learn to, well, help one understand one another. Give and take, sort it out, it goes our way. You know. So it's not easy about love. And don't think our love is that you are on clock number 7. You know, everything is really like that. Unless you are a billionaire, a millionaire, multi-millionaire, when you have servant, every day your wife going to have to cook. They cook for you. Your wife and baby be with you everywhere you go. Dress everything, throw away. The servant will wash it and, you know, do all your laundry for you. That you don't have to do your own cooking. That's not a wife. That's not a wife. That's a tai-tai. Who have everything. Everything being done for them. You see. So you need to understand that when you are in love, oh my, things really are different. Yes, Zoe, is that right?
Yes.
That's okay. I guess this couple here sitting here will understand also. Is that right, Henry?
Brother.
Yes, of course. You're smiling away, Brother Paul. That's what love is all about. Okay, so we see this particular case. All right, now. Let us look at one case in the Bible. All right, now, as I said, don't rush into it. But let's see what the Bible says about courtship first. Proverbs 6, 27. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So this is the danger about courtship. When it's time to study, it's study. When it's time to work, it's work. Until you have saved enough to get ready for marriage, then you think about marriage. Am I talking sense to you? I remember like Zara told Zoe when time she was, I think, in high school or university. I remember Zara said, study time, huh? No boyfriend, girlfriend, huh? See, that's wise advice. True. There's a time period where you need to school. Go to school. Schooling means study. Not boyfriend, girlfriend, relationship. You finish your school, you get a job. Get a job. When you get a job, don't start having boyfriend, girlfriend relationship. But you don't even have enough save up to, you need to save. Today, of course, it's you have to save more. You left. Because the apartment is skyrocketing. Up and higher, because you know, we get our flat 25 years ago, 64,000. Today, 300,000. Wow, we are rich. But what we decided with no place to go. So this is the condition here in the island of Singapore. That's facts of life. Other places about the same. Belgium the same. France, they all have their own problem. Every country will have problems. But the thing is that this life that I live, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to live the best I know how, within my means, with some wisdom, with the Word of God guiding me. Amen. Sure. No, no, brother, get you have no problem because you're getting old. Oh, yeah. You know, maybe the coffin, maybe worth if I need the coffin for my burial, it might cost me about 100,000 next time. For you know, I might be worrying about the coffin too. I mean, a lot of things you do not know. In our own life, we still have our own problem. So don't say that we are not. Every phase you go through, yeah, your young phase, you go through a phase. When you go to middle age phase, elder, older age phase, all different. But we all have problems. We have to solve, live it, and we know how to live it. So when you come to school, it's school. When work, work. When the time to come, you have enough said, you're going to get married. Yes, you tell the Lord, Lord, get me a wife. Or I said, Lord, wake up the boy that is for me. You know, so when I stand before him, he'll say, ah, you want a wife? Something like that. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Just wait. Okay. Alright, now let's go and look at the case of Amnon and Tamar. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're not going to read it, alright? But 2 Samuel chapter 13. David had this son called Amnon. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Alright, you can turn to it and look at it anyway. And of course, he fell for Tamar, his half-sister. And he thought it was love. And so what did he do? He got one of his best friends cooking up all those things to say to him, oh, let you pretend you are sick, you know, and that you need Tamar to cook for you. Not only that, let Tamar feed you. So he comes to that place, you see that he devises evil scheme. And what happened? Tamar innocently came, thought that he really was sick. You know, and he chased everybody out of the room, asked Tamar to feed him, and he jumped onto Tamar and raped her. It's rape. You You see, that's the problem. Our Lord thought that he was in love, but it was infatuation. Once if, you know, lay down with Tama and devoured her, he cast her away and treated her as something bad, something evil, something filthy. You see? You know the danger of this is that this little one, when you, parents, please listen to me, parents. Your son, your daughter growing up, watch them. Because that's what the Bible, we'll go to it. That a parent responsible to hog-eye the children as long as they live under your roof. That's the law of the scripture, the law of God given to Israel. Because every one of us have a headship. Or we call it the covenant head. Who is head over the woman? The man. Who is head over the man? Christ. Who is head over Christ? God. Sure. Right? But when you are in the house, and you are young, you are not married, it's not your own house. You are living. Me, I'm the house, I'm in my house, I'm the head. My son who is still with me, not my daughter, my son who is with me, he is still under my headship. My daughter is no longer under my headship. She is under Clarence's headship. Because she's married. As long as my son lives under my roof, he must obey the house rule. Huh? If he lives in my home and he wanted to play rock and roll music, weird music, put all weird posters on the wall. Huh? You know what I mean? Some of those hideous pictures. Or girly pictures on the home. I will not allow it. And he better obey. If not, I said, you get out. Because I wouldn't allow this sort of thing. You live under the headship. You submit to the head. Who is your head today in the Church of God? Who is our head? Christ Jesus. So do you think we can do whatever we love and he tells us not to do it? And as the Bible says, he will chastise us because I'm sorry, my son, don't do it, follow it. What then? I lose control. Right. And that's when the belt must come up. Of course, it's stupid not to be about. This is known right now, what I mean. But you see, there must be a certain control that of the parent over the children. If not, that means something is wrong. Your children is manipulating you. Do you understand? It means the children is manipulating you. You have lost control. Alright, leave this show your head. Right, good? No, your head good. Understand. Learn something. Your parents should have. If the father cannot control, the mother must control. We know, of course, there are always cases where you live in a home where the father is not a believer, maybe. You know. And your mother is a believer. And you are a believer, yet you all do things that is not right. And you better, if you love God, you better obey. Because the Bible said what? Honor thy father and thy mother. Is that not what the law said? Yes or no? Yes. You see. Now let us look at this covenant head and look at Deuteronomy chapter 22. Now in the Old Testament there's a whole lot of laws that God gave to Israel to deal with them as a nation peculiar. Alright? Not the same as all the other nations around. God have a standard that this is my people, they have a peculiar way of life. You understand? The same thing you, our peculiar people, we have a peculiar way of life. They are not conformed to the world. You see? Alright, so Deuteronomy chapter 22. Here we have all about all kinds of law. You can see, as you know, huh? All sorts of law. But not every law is still binding today. But some law that is not contrary is still binding. Do you understand? Yes. Okay? Law of sacrifice of animal, we don't, that's no more. That's hanged to the cross. Okay? But some law is still applicable. And we need to know how to look at it. Because we know today in the church, in Christianity, some people, like the Reformed Church, I think the Reformed, I don't know whether it's the Baptist, Presbyterian, but they call themselves the Reformed Church. Some of them are a stickler to the letters of the Bible and not understanding the spirit of life that is in it. That's what Paul said, the letter killer, but the spirit give life. Is that right? So if you take the stick to the Bible, word for word, not knowing the real thing behind it, and you get into trouble. But let us see this here now. Covenant head over in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 13 onward. If a man takes a wife and go in unto her and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and the mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elder of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elder, I give my daughter unto this man to wife. And he hated her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a virgin. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elder of the city shall take the man and chastise him. And they shall amass him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. Now, listen there carefully, eh? This is God's law. You see, any girl in Israel, they are found out to be a virgin, is punished. You understand that? But in America today, Christian girls and boys, they go out there, dating, courtship, and then sometimes they get into all that sexual thing, and then what happened? Huh? If the man don't want her, she left carrying the baby. If not, when she married another man, and not telling the man, even in Africa, it happened very frequently. I have letters, email telling me, brother, here's such a case, a brother married this woman, and found that after marrying her a few months, she was found, she said to him, she was not a virgin. You understand what that means? The man married a wife, and the wife never tell her the first place before they got married, that she was not a virgin. And after marrying her a few months, then she said, I'm not a virgin. How do you feel? How would that man feel? It's terrible, you know. And you, brothers, you need to go and ask the wife today, are you a virgin? Tell me honestly. Face up. You know. That's what this token of virginity. Not like today, huh? A lot of women, a lot of girls who do not even sleep with men, they don't even have this token. Because why? They lost the hymen. Why? In sports, usually. In those days, the women, they don't do sports, huh? You know, today's women are very rough, huh? You ever seen women very rough? The muscular type. Yes. Flat chested, because they take all these exercises until they look like a man. You understand that? They ride horses. In those days when women ride horses, or donkey, how do they sit on the donkey? Sideways. Right? But today when they go for the ride horses, they don't ride sideways. You see. So, in those days when a man or woman married, the parents make sure on the night when they're having nuptial, the parents went on the outside. And then with this piece of white cloth, they will get this stained blood. That will be a token of virginity. That you cannot run away. The man cannot say that, this woman I married is not a virgin. And if he says that, he'll be punished. And that's the case of this. You see why? Because the parent watch over the daughter. Make sure the daughter does not go out there with some man out there and get all this trouble. Those were the days. These days, we are living in different society, different condition. But that makes sure, that doesn't mean you say, I give up, I don't want to do. Do your of us, you know what to do. And you children, honor your parents. And your parents, don't spoil your child by sparing the rod. Don't spoil your child by spoiling the rod. Don't spare the rod. Don't spare the rod. Raise up the child the way he should go. I don't know how many, I don't know about some of you youngsters, where you ever got cane. Who never got cane? Let me see. Who got cane? You never got cane? Look, oh my. You don't spare that rod, brother. If he's misbehaving, give him the belt too. You know, so they will know what it means to know the respect and the honor of parents. Because if a parent loves the child too much, they spoil it. Because that's not love. That's a spoiling. He was spoiling the child. He may not be a brat, but he will become what? He will have something over your head. You know. Now you ever see people say, you love me, you won't do this. If you love me, you won't do this. You love me, you won't do this. What are you saying about? If you say someone, if you love me, you won't do this. If it's for something that is bad to you, alright, you can say that. But if it's something that is good to you, you tell your parent or you tell someone, if you love me, you won't do this. My son cannot tell me, my daughter cannot tell me, that if you love me, you will not kill me. Yeah, I won't care if you're good, because I do it because you're bad. That's how much discipline is all about. And by doing that, your son will honor you because he know and fear you because you are knowing what you're doing as a godly person. That's what it is. So you see the covenant head is still the parent. Okay, let us continue reading. Verse 20. But if this thing be true, and the token of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of the father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stone, that she die, because she hath rough folly in Israel, to play the whore in her father's house, so shalt thou put evil away from you. You see, the damsel, this girl is not married yet. And when she married this man, the man found her that she's really not a virgin. They'll bring her to the door of the father's house, and they put her to death, because she had brought disgrace to the house. That means that the father watch over her. Somehow she sneak around and get herself defiled. And in Israel, it's a very serious thing, because Israel is God's wife, right? Was a type of God's wife, and the church were a type of Christ. I mean, the wife of Christ. So how can we do this thing? You see, how important that is. Now, in verse 22, if a man found lying with a woman married to a man, to her husband, then they shall both them die. Both the man that lay with a woman and the woman, so shalt thou put evil away. That is, if a woman who is betrothed, you know what is a betrothed? Betrothed is the same as espouse. When you are espoused to somebody, now in the Bible days, this betrothal or espousal is a binding contract. Today we have this engagement thing, right? We call it engagement. Now do you know that when you say you're engaged, well, how were you engaged to a girl? I know that Zohar and Janice have engaged, right? You both engaged there? I don't know what Zohar said to you. Very on the knee, one knee, two knees, or whatever. Okay. Will you marry me? Something like that, right? Okay, this is usually what we'll do, huh? Will you marry me? And when you say yes, do you know that it's binding? And then you exchange that engagement ring. And that engagement ring is as binding as a marriage ring. Your engagement is as binding as on the day of your wedding. That's what the Bible talks about. This woman is betrothed. It has to say, now let's go back. Verse 22. If a man found lying with a woman married to a husband, they shall both of them die. Both the men that lie with the woman, so that they shall both put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto her husband, and a man found her in the city and lie with her, then he shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, And you shall stone them with stone that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so shall thou put away evil from among you. So, a woman that is already married, and the man sleep with her, what is that? That is fornicating. A woman who is not your wife, and a woman who is already married should never sleep with a man. Both will put to death. But the other one is that if, in verse 23, if a damsel that is a virgin that is betrothed to an husband, and a man found her in the city and sleep with her, and she did not cry out, did not scream, rape, means she permitted it. Something is wrong, right? If a man rape a woman, it's a total stranger, the woman will scream and kick, maybe, huh? Unless the man put a knife to her throat and cut her. If she don't scream out in those days, if she don't scream out, that means she permitted, and she'll be put to death. Because why? She is only betrothed to a man to be married, to be husband and wife. Betrothed is binding. That's the way, you know, of this vow thing. Making a vow is a very serious thing. And that's, you know, what the question has been raised. Every time when we talk about this, many of them were raised up, especially among those in Africa. You know. And some of these preachers preach until the way that you give him no leeway, huh? But I want to tell you this one thing. To tell you this, the fact is that when you engage, it is binding. Because it's a vow. And God takes a vow seriously. But for whatever reason that there is that comes up, that is broken off, then we could look at the case. Because what then is true marriage? What then is a man and woman really married? That's what the question I always ask the African preacher. When they get so tight and say, "Oh, but brother God, the man or woman said that they love each other, they make a vow, they have exchanged ring. They are already married, and then they're separate, they commit fornication, they commit adultery." They teach like that. Let me ask you now the question. I said, what then is marriage? I said, in Singapore we have Mr. Tan married Miss Lim, and Miss Lim become Mr. Tan, Mrs. Tan, and then live in a HDB flat, she in her room, he in his room. The only thing that is common is the kitchen and the living room. The bed is not common. He has his, she has hers, and both lock up their own room, their own separate room. And yet, Miss Lim is called Mrs. Tan. Are they married? But in the law, they are married. In the law, they are married, right? Law married. But there's no consummation, there's no true marriage. Because they are not one. Do you understand? Do you understand? But when you are, as Christian, when you are engaged, betrothed to one another, your intention that you be one as husband and wife. Not by the law, but by the Spirit of what God has given you to know in His Holy Word. Is that right? You see? That's how binding it is. So be careful. Alright. Let us go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2 onwards. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceed out of his mouth. You see that? God takes this very seriously when they aspire to Israel, giving this law. So, we want to bring this law into the church because it still makes sense for us to understand. That to know that we cannot simply just say, you vow a promise, and then you never keep the promise. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know. Oh, brother God, I will see you, I'll meet you tomorrow at 12 o'clock for lunch at such and such a place. You better keep the promise. If you have something up, you better call, let me know that you cannot make it, unfortunately. And that's alright. Don't make me wait there for you at 12 o'clock until midnight. You always say you break the vow. So important what we say, we keep it. Verse 3. If a woman also vow a vow to the Lord and bind herself by the bond being in her father's house in her youth, she's not married, huh? Okay? And the father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she have made bond her soul, and the father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she have bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she have bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed. You see that headship? If a girl with a daughter live in the house and the promise say, oh, I bound this, I bound to make this promise, I make this, and the father heard it. If the father didn't say nothing, that means that vow stands. But you say, yeah, I want to do this, I bring this, I bound, you know, bound this, bound whatever. So for example, I want to bow to be a virgin, I don't want to be, you know, married to any man, all this, the father heard this, but the father also want her to get married. No, I disallow that. That means that vow is cancelled. Do you understand? Because that she is under the headship of the father. Every child in the home is under the control of the father. The father has to say. You know? Do you know how sick it is in the East? But to them we all the freedom. But in the East, for example, like, well, you know, I was watching, I think I sent you the video clip, about this Indian man. I will give a talk on TED, TED. He talked about how he was a professor and all this. Father sent him to the best school in India, best university and all this, and he got all this degree. And yet, he told his mom, I want to go work in the village. The mom says, what? I give you all the best education, send to the best university, you have everything, you have a great future in front of you, and you want to work in the village. Why? You see, in those days are there. When the father said, I want to be a doctor, you can show you be a doctor, huh? And then you know matter what you don't like doctor, you still be a doctor. And you come out heading being a doctor. You see. But in those days, that's the way it is. So unless your father says, okay, I want you to be, you don't want to be, okay, then you want to be whatever. Your father gave permission, you do. But your father don't give permission in those days, you come under this headship. But today, of course, we parents are more sympathetic. We try to understand our children. But we want to guide our children as well. Whatever they want to do, fine, no problem. But whatever they want to do that is bad, that's a problem. Then we have to disallow that. Do you hear me? You know, I mean, it's a common sense thing, but we don't think much about it. Okay, now in verse 6. And if she had an husband, when she vowed or uttered out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that she heard it, then her vow shall stand, and the bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with the lip wherewith she had bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. So, once the woman is married, the girl is married, she now comes under the headship of the husband. You know? If you tell the husband, I want to work, the husband said, no. And she better obey the husband. No, don't work. You understand? So a lot of things are big, just to show the headship. Because God wants us to come in. Yes, you know what I talk about? Authority. Subjection in authority. It's important. Or else if not, everything is chaotic. Do you understand it? Huh? Okay. Now, let us go over to 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also have made us able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit give life. So we, as a minister, as Paul said, we want to minister to you, not the letter of the word. Okay? Because the letter of the word kills. But the Spirit of the word that will give life. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. That's what we talk about. The Bible, being that it is a written word, it's letter. If you take this Bible and read it and take it literally everywhere you read it without a revelation, you'll kill it. Right? But we are talking about the law of the Spirit of life. There is a law, yes, but it's a law of the Spirit of life. Yes, you don't say, when you take the law, what does the law do to you? When you read the law, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt. The law immediately, when you read the law, it condemns you. Is that right? It shows that. But yet, when you read the law, there is life inside the law. If you fulfill it. Do you understand that? So the same thing, this Bible, this word, this, they are letters. They are written scripture. Right? But in it, if you receive the revelation, it gives forth life to you. You see that? So it is important to know. That's what Paul said, we don't want to bring you this letter to condemn, which it does, and it kills you. But we want to bring the life out of this law here, the written word of God. We want to bring that life out to you. Because that is life in itself to you. Okay? Alright. Now let us go to alright, we are finished with that. Let me go to the next few verses and we're closed. I'll type it out here, easy for me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Alright. Deuteronomy 6, 5 to verse 9, and here is what we have, the parental responsibility in your relationship with your children. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first thing. Every one of us must love God first. If you don't love God, you don't know what God, what love is. As we already read in 1 John 4:8. If you do not know God, you don't know no love at all. Okay? And this word which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sit in thy house, and when thou walk by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as splendid upon between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, you see, when God give all this commandment, you can read all this in Deuteronomy, God give all this commandment, all these things to the children of Israel. And he told them, you teach this to your children. You teach this to your children. And Lord, leave it up to the rabbi. You got what I'm saying? You know that's the problem with churches today. Leave it to the rabbi. Leave it to the pastor. The pastor is not your parent. They cannot teach your children. Because why? He cannot be in everybody's house. He doesn't sleep in everybody's house. He's your guide. Your guide. And you, parents, are the one that's supposed to teach. The Bible says, raise up your children. Right? In the fear of the Lord. The Bible did not tell pastor, the minister, raise up all the kids in the church, how they should walk. Raise them up. Oh, they'll live with you 24 hours a day. Maybe they have school time, of course. But when they're home, what did Moses write here in Deuteronomy? He says what? You teach them diligently and direction, talk with them when you are sitting at home. Huh? Right? At the table. Especially when they're young, you raise them up. Of course, when they're adult, really, they know. They should know what to do. After all, how old is one? What is your age when you consider yourself an adult? 18. Some country, 16. Some country, 13. In India, little baby already can get married. You know some of those foolish things that they have, right? So what is an adult? In the Bible sense of the word, the moment when a girl comes to a period, she's considered mature already. But of course, she's still developing. So we will not say that's an adult, right? But she's fit for marriage, even at a young age. You know. In some countries, they say 16. I think in America, say 18. But 16. What? 21. Not 21. I don't know. Oh, boy. They keep changing the rule. I don't know. Huh? Why, in Singapore, 18, huh? Why? Because why? You know, National Service Boy goes in at 18, right? So he's 18. So we have all that. So what is maturity? When they reach adulthood, you cannot teach them anymore. Because after all, they're supposed to understand a lot of it. But when they are young, you should teach them. At the table, when you walk with them on the way, you see, when they're young, or when you lie down to sleep with them, when they're kids, that is the most important period of their life. Not later. And she always, as Moses said, remember, put this on your front, on your hand, on your forehead. You know, your hand, your forehead. It means to say you remember those things and do them. Exodus 20, verse 12. Here we have him. Honor thy father, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God gives thee. The Bible said to every one of us to honor our parents. Right? Ha! What did the Bible say, love your parents? I don't find wrong place to say love your parents. Have you? You know what is the difference between honor and love? Of course, every parent of every one of us parents will love our children, right? If you don't love your children, something is wrong with you. Right? And yeah, I don't find one place the Bible says about father love your children. The Bible does say one place, father provoke not your children. Yes. Every one of us love our children. Father, mother love their children. Children, they love their mother and father, obviously. But here the Bible says, honor them. What is your honor? What do you mean by honor? To place them in high esteem. To place them as one who has authority. Place them with someone who has wisdom. To honor them. You see? Because after all, they're head over you. And when you love your children, love them properly. Don't provoke them. You need to draw the line. How to know what love is? With what space? Huh? There must be a certain margin to understand what is love and what is not love beyond that margin. Because beyond that margin, love is no longer love. Love is a spoilt. You are spoiling the child. You become a spoilt brat. That's how when we look at things, we need to understand this. Right? As you know, in Singapore, I think that is very true. Many of the children here in Singapore are quite spoiled. Because why? Father, mother work hard. Oh, they got everything they want. They were not like us in our generation. What we call baby boomer. We went through a phase of a change in the whole nation. And it's a lot of hard time. You have no idea what it was like when I started working in those days. When I started to come from a poor family. Huh. Have you ever cycled? Have you ever known? You know where Queenstown is? I don't know. You know where Queenstown is? Probably you have an idea. I cycle all the way from there, all the way to Serangoon Road, to catch a bus to go to work. Cycle all the way from there. Work. Lock my bicycle, which I bought very cheaply, of course I'm trying to maintain it, lock it in the lamppost, outside the cafe. You know, you see, those days were hard. But today, you all have everything. Children have iPad, iPhone.
all our expensive stuff.
Well, if that's their own money, that's okay.
But if they come from your pocket as parent,
you are in trouble. Disappointed. You know, remember this thing, this is true. My son, my daughter, they save their own money to buy what they want for themselves. But as far as education is concerned, we provide. But beyond that, they need to save their own money and buy so they appreciate it themselves. That they cannot always depend on father and mother. So that's what it's all about. You know what love is? Love is understanding. Love is wisdom. Love comes from God and how to deal with situation. And how does God love us? Right there. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. You think God's okay, I give it to you. Pop, pop, pop. Everything is fine and dandy, right? God, I need this. God says, no. What then? Oh, you don't love me. You don't love me. You start crying. That's what people do. That's what human beings do. They do to their father, their parents. Or they do to one another. And even sometimes father blackmail their father, mother blackmail their children. Just like my father did. My own father did it to me. You know. You love me, you don't love me. You love me, give me the key to your house. You love me now. Love me. Then I'm dying here in the hospital, give me an opium. I said, no. The time when you went for an operation, you know they have to take out all the, they put a rice tube in to clean their stomach before they operate on the stomach, because they have peptic ulcer. And in the hospital here told me, I'm dying here, they want to kill me, the doctor knows I want to kill me. Give me opium. I said, no. No, you don't love me. What is this? That is why you call blackmail. Well, well, okay, let's go on. I finish up quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see, it's about children. Obey your parents. It is that children love your father. Obey your parents. When you know to obey, you know how to love. Right? Yes, Enoch? Is it true? Elsa? Is it not true? If you don't obey your parents, means you don't love them. But my father and my mother asked me to do this thing, I don't like it. So how? You still do it. You know. Okay. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment we promised, that ye may be well with thee and thou may live long on the earth. And you, father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You see, that's what love is. You love your children, you don't promote them. Tell them why I cannot give you this. Tell them why I cannot provide you this. You understand? Not easy, huh? Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Sure. You see, you train a dog, and the dog will not depart from you. But when a dog is old, you cannot teach them anymore. Because there's a proverb saying, you cannot train the old dog new tricks. Because it's too old to learn anything. So if you don't train up your child when they are young, when they grow old, they will not learn. And that's for sure. Proverbs 3:12. For whom the Lord loved, he corrected. Even as a father the son, in whom he delighted. Now even a father loves the son, loves the daughters, he need to, okay, do correction. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spare his rod, hate his son. But he that love him, chastise him betimes. Ah, hear that? Young people. Luke, you heard that, right? Okay, good. Mother Joseph, you heard that, huh? Okay. You spend around, you hate your son, you know? So go home and take one and just give me a few whack. Alright. 1 Peter 3:1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Now, here we talk about the woman. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be warned by the conversation of the wives. When they behold your chest, taste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting their hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on apparels. You see that? You see the woman, please sister, don't go out there, put all the makeup and all this, huh? Okay. Don't make your eyelashes flutter like a butterfly. Those, I can tell you, sometimes I see those girls, you know, sales girl with all those, oh, by the wings, you know, on the eyes. Oh, my looks remind me of those old China doll, you know, the eye that close up there. It looks very unnatural. Say, oh my. Okay, with the lip, poop the mouth, or poop lips, red rosy cheeks, I mean lips. Don't look good. Don't let it be, you know, make your hair, you know, I want to have this hairstyle, that hairstyle, for, and the wearing of golds and putting on all. Okay, apparel, please dress right. That's all it. Make sure you cover your knees and, you know what, about women? There are two things about women. Okay, not that two things. One thing about women. Both sides, both extreme. If I were to stand there in the streets and here comes two women, one dressed long and simple, long sleeve, long, and cover the skirt all the way down, okay, and walk. And then another girl come by with all that makeup and all the cut hair and all those makeup, very skimpy, miniskirt, okay? Very high miniskirt, you know, and all this, you know what, how they dress. If they were to walk past me, do you know who I would look? The natural man would look at this one with the skimpy dress. Okay, because it's outrageous. But you know who I would look? I always there's something mystical about a woman in long dress. Because why? It covers the femininity of that woman. There is something very mysterious. And I always wonder, every time, you know, when I watch, for example, I watch a movie, when I see the picture, they show a woman dressed long, covered, and they walk. There is something very mysterious about this feminine thing that is covered up. You know what I mean? There is the feminine hidden there. But whereas a woman who dressed skimpy and all the hideous makeup, the moment you say, maybe I'm a Christian, you know, you just bring about something that you just say, there's no more mystery about this. No, it's no longer a feminine woman. It's no longer something that's mysterious. It's something that's turned to be ugly. Something that has become very bad. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You see? And always see, if I always see a woman, now I thought when I was staying over in Jurong West, that was an Indian girl, I think. She was wearing a long skirt too, and she had her hair all the way down. And she didn't even tie it, she let it flow down. Huh? And she was walking, you know what? Passing the coffee shop, all the men would take a look. They admire her. Because there's something feminine with the long hair, with the long skirt. But if you have a woman with the short hair, you know, the China doll cut fringe, with the makeup, some big bows around her ears, and short miniskirt, I can tell you, look at it and say, wow, there's nothing here, nothing common. Huh? And would you want to marry a woman like that? Let me ask you, young man, or you men, would you like to marry a girl like this? Being a non Christian, would you marry? The worldly people would, maybe. You know. Maybe to them, that such a woman is a plaything. Let me tell you as a fact. You see. And woman has always been used as a sexual object. I saw you have Playboy around the world, everywhere, and in many countries. Even in Japan, I was told, if you do business with Japanese men, when you go over there, they will provide you some woman for entertainment. You see, there is this thing that is in the world. Sin came through the fall, I mean through sex, and the devil is still propagating it. Okay, let us quickly finish it up. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corrupt, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time the holy woman also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husband, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wise, unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. Last two more verses quickly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So we hold to the word of life as we run. 1 John 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. So now that we are Christians, we know there are a lot of things, there are certain things that are permitted by God. You understand? A lot of things that are permitted by God, like polygamy. God permitted it. God permitted the fall. Alright? God permitted the church to deal with certain things, like Paul did in the church of Corinthians. To allow something that they might be among my seed, change them, teach them, and bring them back to the word. There are certain times that God allows certain things to happen. But when we come to the reality of this end time truth, we want to get back to the original. We want to get back to the beginning of what God intended. That's why He revealed to us this plan and the purpose of everything that is in Christ Jesus. And now that as John said, that which we have from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Is that so? Have you not handled the word of life? You have received the word of life. And don't let permissive will, like Israel, God put every child according to the headship of the family. But there are times that this thing can no longer be. When you are involved, especially in love. This is a way when a man marries a woman, it's out of love. Even in every decision made, when you are in love, of course, you need the parents' permission to marry the girl. Like this normal. Okay? Whether the parent allows you, allow the daughter to give it to you. But in those days, if the father refused to give the girl to the man, okay, that means she remains single. And that's what happened in America. The brother said to me, very young, I have not given my daughter to that man. The man took my daughter. You see, the daughter went to a church, anti-Messiah church, and fell in love with this man. And the father doesn't like the man. They went ahead and married anyway. So this brother was very upset. He told me, I'm still her headship. I've never given him, I've not given her to the man. So the man is not headship over her. I said, no, brother, you are wrong. You cannot follow the Old Testament like that. I said, you cannot follow the Old Testament like that. For what is marriage? For what is marriage? What is marriage? When Isaac took Rebekah, right? Went into the mother Sarah's tent. That's marriage. What does it mean? Did they go through a priest, a blessing, all this? They don't, right? Isn't it? Yes. Cain to the half-sister, as wife. Did they go through all the ceremony? No. We go through ceremony because there is always this tradition, this culture that we have. Is that right? Whether Indian culture, Chinese culture, Western idea, Western culture. You know. So when you come to a church where you belong, do what the Word of God says to do. When you want to marry a man, when you want to marry a woman, your parent, beyond that, after allowing you to be married, have no say in your decision making. They have no say whatsoever. If your parent have a say in everything they want to, that is not your parent. That's why we have a heretical, cultic spirit in many churches. Even in pain. That's if I'm from a Christian family, and I want to marry a girl, happen to be there, fall in love with her, Hindu. They're all the Hellenics, you know what I mean? That heretical, all the Hindu culture when it comes to how to go to process this, wedding this way, wedding that way. You see, I have a problem. You understand that? And if the girl really loves me, forget it. You cannot follow your father like that.
So your father said, no, I don't give it her to you then.
Then it's okay, then you won't marry her. Because it's not yours after all.
If it's yours, a man, a woman for the man, you come together, you engage, make a stand. That's what you are for. Each other. Not for your father, not for your mother. Remember that. Because you are going to be one. And when your engagement is, it's binding. It is binding. You are one. In the eyes of God. Until the day you present yourself before the Lord. You see. So that's what is love. Love must go within the circle of God's word. Under what headship really is. For when you come under the man, it belongs to the man. When you are still not married, you come under your father's home. Your father is the head. And when you are a Christian, your headship is Christ. And you have to obey. And your headship is Christ, then this word is what we do. Obey this, stay with this. No other way. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Time fast gone now, Lord. We thank you for nevertheless for your great love towards us. We ask that, Lord, you continue to bless, O Father. Give us more understanding in this life that we live. Give us more love, O Father. Give us more wisdom and understanding of your precious word of life. I ask that you bless now in Jesus' name.